ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I have to confess, I didn't know that we were observing Gita Jayanti today. I thought it was on Tuesday. Isn't it? caught a little bit by surprise, but especially having heard the announcement about the intentions of encouraging all of you to sponsor books, Srila Prabhupada's books, for distribution next year. It made me think of something that we recently did in Kiev. I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but actually Prabhupada, oftentimes, at least those of us who are present here, we personally experienced, he stimulated a competitive spirit. And he was expert. He knew that it could either bring out the best in us or it could bring out the worst in us. And he took risks, as he did right from the very beginning. He took a risk in coming here to New York. But he did inspire a competitive spirit amongst the devotees, and sometimes he would go to different temples. And he would say, I have come to this temple, I've been to this temple before, that temple before, I've come to this temple now, and I can say that this temple is the best. And then he would continue his travels, and sometime later on the tour, you hear what Prabhupada say, well, I've been to this place, I've been to that place, and this temple is the best. Of course, he knew how to really get the devotees inspired. And he made so many statements as well that, you know, those of us who are present there, we gave personal testimony, or can give personal testimony, how Srila Prabhupada, he literally drove us mad. And sometimes I'm a little bit conscientious about devotees becoming overly fanatic. And Prabhupada even said that religion without philosophy is fanaticism. But many of us became fanatics for Prabhupada, and sometimes we reflect on the kind of austerities that we had to undergo to please Srila Prabhupada, who said that, he has said it many times, that these books are my life and soul. And there is one quote, I might even have it right here, because I spoke about it recently in Ukraine. And where is it? Here it is. Book quotes. Yes, Prabhupada said right here, this, our book distribution, is the most important task in our society. Therefore, I am giving so much stress and I am working so hard on this because this is my life and soul according to the order of my Guru Maharaj. And by his grace, it is to some extent successful. And I took it seriously. I take it seriously still now. That is my life and soul. I never tried in India to construct big temples, or even in your country, we didn't, I never tried. But I was selling personally books. That is the history. In fact, we read this quote, and in Kiev, as I was saying, stimulate the competitive spirit. In Kiev, we showed a video of Vaisheshika Prabhu, be a giver. Of course, the devotees don't understand English there, so we translated it and showed it to them, and we spoke a little bit on it, especially Vaisheshika Prabhu's point that the more you give, the more you grow. And we tried to elaborate on that point. We did this on Friday and Saturday. I spoke twice for about an hour each time. We had a gathering of our counselors from throughout Ukraine. We had a retreat, and there were about maybe 250, 300 counselors there. And we spoke on that topic because I was trying to emphasize the point that taking care of devotees, and part of the parcel of taking care of the devotees, is instilling in them faith. It's not, sometimes we have a tendency to think that taking care of devotees is just simply catering to their psychological, emotional, physical needs. But if you help a devotee and cultivate faith and pure devotional service, that really is taking care of devotees. I oftentimes quote a verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that pure devotional service is so transcendentally potent that simply by hearing about it, simply by glorifying it in response, simply by meditating on it, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting it, that it exists, and simply by praising the service of others, that even a person who hates the demigods and all living entities in the universe can immediately become purified. This is a quote in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter. I think it's the 12th verse. It's one of the Yogendras. It's Narada Muni to Vasudeva, actually. Narada Muni also reflected onto the conversation between the Yogendras and Maharaj Nimi. But Vasudeva had asked the question about devotional service and how devotional service can make one free from fear. And so this verse emphasized that pure devotional service is so potent that if we hear about it, if we glorify it in response, and we just meditate on its existence and faithfully and respectfully accept that it exists. I may not have it. In fact, if we read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we very clearly see that the characteristics of the most advanced devotees is they don't think they have it. And anyone who thinks he has it is probably deceiving himself if he thinks he has it. Because we follow their example, that, and the characteristic of very elevated devotees is that they are always thinking that they don't do enough service for Krishna, they don't have enough love for Krishna, and they don't feel qualified for Krishna's mercy, and they don't have enough of it, therefore. And because they think in that way, they become good receptacles for mercy. And therefore, this verse that we quoted from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam explains that if we faithfully and respectfully accept that pure devotional service exists, even though I may not have it, but why shouldn't I hear about it? Why shouldn't, if I hear something about it, and I hear the examples given in the Bhagavatam of so many personalities and who achieved it and how they achieved it, by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. And then it instills within my heart some faith that, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, these descriptions, these narrations of pure devotees in Bhagavatam, we think that it's a club, it's only a few individuals, and although we hear about it, you know, no way. Can I get there? No way will I ever get there. But actually, this verse describes how to get there. It says that if you hear about pure devotees, if you glorify pure devotees in response to what you've heard about pure devotees, if you meditate on pure devotional service and the service rendered by the pure devotees and how they pleased the Lord by their pure devotional service and by how the Lord reciprocated with their pure devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj tells his friends, "My friends, sons of demons, you can't please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you become expert Brahmins, even if you come perform all kinds of austerities, nor by accepting vows, nor by chastity, nor by great sacrifices, none of these things can actually awaken the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotional service to Him. And if, without sincere devotional service, everything else is a show." So Prahlad Maharaj was telling his five-year-old friends about pure devotional service. And by speaking about it, by hearing it, meditate on it, and especially by faithfully and respectfully accepting that, yeah, I may not have it, but it exists, and the more that I hear about it, the verse says, the more you hear about it in response and speak about it in response, then even a person who's so envious that he hates all the demigods and what to speak of all the living entities in the universe, he becomes purified. So that's our ticket. It's our qualification, is to hear the glories of pure devotional service. And the more we hear, and the more we repeat, and the more we become purified, and then actually pure devotional service becomes accessible. Because the heart becomes pure, purified. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna is a method also for cleansing the heart, Chaito Dharpa Namajana. Nonetheless, Srila Prabhupada was so expert in motivating us to do something for Krishna, something very wonderful for Krishna, something but very clear that our mind was focused that if we please Prabhupada, that's it. Please Krishna. There was no questions, no doubts. And therefore Prabhupada, although he warned us about not becoming too fanatical, we were fanatical. And I was telling the devotees in Kiev the kinds of things we used to do. And when we would go out and distribute Prabhupada's books, we would distribute usually from 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the evening, especially during the marathon. And then all of a sudden, many of us spontaneously became inspired to go out and stay out late on Saturday night. We used to stay out till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then all of a sudden, what the devotees said, we could be distributing some more books if we didn't eat. So we started fasting on Saturdays just to save time. Prabhupada didn't tell us to fast. We just started fasting on Saturdays to save time, distribute more books. And Sunday, our feast was fruit salad, and we go out in the afternoon and distribute books on Sundays too. We were fanatics. And Vaisheshika Prabhu's presentation was, the more you give, the more you grow. And when I said this and I started telling the devotees about how Prabhupada drove us, and I could see that many people were becoming, wait a minute. Are we? No, we're not gonna, you're not expecting us really to do something like that, are you? No, I'm not. I'm not expecting. I don't expect that the devotees, that everyone here is going to take up that spirit and go out and make that kind of sacrifice. Still, the more you give, the more you grow. And that's a very good theme, because the month of December is a really, everybody's talking about the giving spirit. And so we should try to meditate on what we can do to give Prabhupada's books to others, give Bhagavad Gita to others, those who are less fortunate, to make them more fortunate. And there's always something that we can do a little bit more. We should never become complacent thinking I'm doing enough. As soon as we become complacent and think we're doing enough, you can't grow. You can't grow. You become stagnant. And sometimes we think doing more means, okay, more physically, and sometimes devotees think they have their limits as to how much they can physically do. But doing more doesn't necessarily mean more physically. Well, what the body and the mind and one's words. We can speak. We can tell others. Yari dekatari kaha Krishna upadesha maragya guru hanatari. Prabhupada drove us crazy with that verse. You know, literally quoted it so many times that, you know, give the example of Kurma the Brahmin who wanted to travel with Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to give up his household life, and Lord Chaitanya said, forget it. Don't give up your household life to renounce it and come with me. He said, he quoted this verse, Yari Dekatari Kaha Krishna Upadesha, simply tell others about Krishna, and if you do that, there'll be no obstacles whatsoever in your household or life. So, that's another quote that Prabhupada quoted a lot and motivated us, you know, to do something. If we can't do something physically, most of us, I would think, have the ability to speak. So let's speak a little bit more about Krishna to others. And you never know, you know, what that little 2-minute talk to somebody sitting next to you on the bus or on the subway will do. People, and have a book with you this month. Have them with you. This is what we told the devotees in Kiev. And we kind of try to inculcate this spirit of, yeah, you can give a little more this month. So we spoke for 2 days on Vaisheshika Prabhu's theme of be a giver. The more you give, the more you grow. And then on Sunday, we spoke about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we told a couple of stories of how Prabhupada distributed his own Bhagavatams in New York. In the very early days when Srila Prabhupada came to New York, and he would personally go to the bookstores and place the books, and he would go back and check up on them to see if there were, and what books were being sold, because he was living off the sale of his Bhagavatams. And I remember one story of Mukunda Maharaj. He was told in the miracle on Second Avenue when Prabhupada had no place to go, when he was literally thrown out of the loft of, called Carl Jurgens, although that wasn't his name. But Prabhupada was staying there with him, and his wife felt threatened by Prabhupada's presence, said, you know, he's a nice holy man, but he's, you know, this, we have no rooms here, it's all one room, it's either him or me. And Prabhupada, you know, left, and then he went to Mukunda Maharaj, and then there was an arrangement for Mukunda Maharaj to look for something. Mukunda Maharaj found 26 Second Avenue, and he brought Prabhupada over to 26 Second Avenue to meet Mr. Gardner, who was, I guess, the agent who was renting the property at the time. And the property was a little bit more than the devotees could afford. Mr. Gardner gave him the rent, and Prabhupada pulled out his Bhagavatams, and Prabhupada started telling him, he says, we are making members in our society. And he turned to Mukunda Maharaj and said, he's a member. And Mukunda Maharaj says, hey, wait a minute, I never became a member. What's Swamiji talking about? And Prabhupada said, so many people are becoming members and they're giving monthly donations to the society. And in return for their monthly donations to the society, we are giving them these books, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he showed him to, and then he asked the man to give a monthly donation and take it off the rental. This is Prabhupada did so many things like this. I was telling the story also. One of my favorite stories is when Prabhupada went to the Dainapan to get the Krishna books printed. He went in there with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and one other devotee, I can't remember who it was. And they received Prabhupada in a very, very, you know, respectful. He thought he was a big author. He was, so many books were being published, and they wanted to get this contract for Krishna book. And Prabhupada first came in and he met one kind of junior executive, and he asked the junior executive, you know, what is your goal in life? You know the story. The junior executive, he had in his pocket, he had all these business cards. He had the business card of his boss. He had the business card of the boss's boss. He had the business card of the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer. He had everyone's card in his pocket. So he took all the business cards out and he put them on the table and he stacked them up, and he was on the bottom because he was a junior executive. And Prabhupada was looking at him, putting all the cards out. And the junior executive, in answer to Prabhupada's question, he took the bottom card out and he put it on the top and tapped it. Yeah, that is my goal in life. And then Prabhupada then preached to him like for a half hour about what is the goal of life. And then the officers of Dainapan came in, and then Prabhupada was, you know, negotiating with him for the price of the books. And the man said, you know, that each book would cost $1.25, and Prabhupada said, oh, $1.25, that's way too much. He said, I will do it for 40 cents less, I think it was 95 cents a book. And the man, and they were all sitting with Prabhupada, oh, no, it's not possible, not possible. And then Prabhupada kind of stepped back and he turned to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he spoke to the executive. He said, actually, I don't know how much we can afford. Why don't you talk with him? And he introduced Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the first thing he said, I don't know how Swamiji could say we could give 95 cents. We can't even afford 95 cents for this. It's not possible. We don't have that kind of money. And he started speaking to the executive in this way that, no, it's not possible, 95 cents. And the executive, first of all, said $1.25. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj then negotiated. The Prabhupada was sitting back there and let Tamal Krishna Maharaj do all the negotiations. And he got everything down, you know, I can't remember what it was. Like, it was, I think it was like a dollar, something like that, was the price that they agreed on for the Krishna books. And Prabhupada was always thinking, you know, of different ways. I know I'm limited on time. I'm going to end very soon. But the point was, it was his life and soul. His books, publication, distribution of his books was life and soul. And I was telling different stories to the devotees about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we told some of these stories about Prabhupada distributing his own books in the early days. And after the Sunday program, we asked everybody to catch up the spirit and to purchase books. We asked them to purchase books. We had stacks of books in the back of the room, big stacks of books. And we had devotees standing in front of the stacks of books. And after the lecture was over, in 1 hour, we sold 7,800 books. In 1 hour. Now, I give all credit to Vaisheshika Prabhu, because he definitely, and I even wrote him right after, said, Vaisheshika Prabhu, I can't believe what you did today. You know, it was your inspiration that so many books, so many people were taking, they were just like standing in line. It was like the old days in the Soviet Union, actually. That's how we used to sell books. Right, Sri Radhika? She remembers the old days. We used to, you know, when communism fell, we used to put up these book tables. And the only thing the devotees had to do was to keep people in line. as they would line up for the books, you know, the people were just like, and we had these big signs in the subways. We were the first person to actually capitalize on advertisement during the Soviet times. So we had Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita on all the buses and in all the subways, big posters, and devotees would stand in front of the poster in the subway with the sign of Prabhupada's Gita, and people would just line up. They just had boxes and boxes of books and people just... Anyways, 7,800 books. And I can tell you right now, the economy in Ukraine, has been a war there since 2014. Forgive me, I'm not challenging you. But the economy in Ukraine is not like the economy in America. They don't really have a lot of money. But somehow, at the end of the hour, and of those 7,800 books, 2,600 of them were Srimad Bhagavatam. They were Mahabig books or big books. 2,600 of them. And they just took them and they went out. I mean, hopefully they're going out now, and they're givers. That was the spirit. So I'm not going to challenge you to match them. Prabhupada would do something. I'm not so potent. I'm not going to try to challenge you to match them. But you could do something more than maybe what you plan to do for the rest of the month. Why not do it tonight? Why not? They're there. Why not do it tonight? And just catch the spirit. A little of fanaticism. Catch the spirit and just see how much nectar there is in pure devotional service, because that's what Prabhupada motivated us to do. Just to give everything, because he told us and he demonstrated by his example that these books were his life and soul. And he would say it again and again with tears in his eyes. His life and soul. Do something for Prabhupada. There's some special mercy there. Prabhupada once said that. That's one thing that once motivated me. It was in 1975. I was out in book distribution. And Prabhupada, and it was in Atlanta. He was meeting with the Radha Damodar devotees. A lot of devotees who had assembled there. And Prabhupada said, the devotees who travel in vans and distribute my books get my extra special mercy. And all of us... We were distributing books like all day long, and we're thinking, extra special mercy? We're thinking, so much mercy already, and Prabhupada's ready to give out extra special mercy? And we all discussed amongst ourselves and said, we want it, don't we? We already knew what mercy was, but extra special mercy? Inconceivable what it must be. So, extra special mercy is available if we catch the spirit and try to do something to please Srila Prabhupada. You can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. I won't ask you to take 7,800 books tonight, but please. Maybe 780 or... something like that. I'm sorry. Like I said, I had no idea. I was going to speak on the verse from the Bhagavatam. But I was stimulated to speak on this topic by the opening announcements, and I was told that I should end by 7:20. It's 7:22. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.